You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
You realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards, right?
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news, folks. It's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We do have topics prepared for you, but, you know, sometimes... You know, just like a good discussion, you know, you never know exactly where you're going to venture off to during the course of our show. Thank you for tuning in for this week. We got a lot of news to talk about. Week three of the NFL's in the books. We'll hit that in the sports sampler. The Emmys also just had their ceremony. We'll talk about that in the entertainment entree. And then, of course, as always, I've got some wacky odd news. My teaser for it is that it revolves around Florida and Las Vegas.
Okay.
So there you go.
Two of the craziest places in the U.S., I think.
Right. So how fitting that they are the source of our odd news for this week. So we'll get to all that and more on this week's episode. But before we get into all the news topics at hand, Mike, how you doing? What's going up in Costanzo country?
I'm good. Costanzo country was involved with a couple of birthdays this past weekend. I had two birthdays, a first birthday, and a good friend of the show, Marie's birthday, was this past weekend. So happy birthday to her.
Yes.
We celebrated.
She's the one that created our logo.
Yeah, we always have to give a little shout out to her.
I'm always amazed by that logo. She, because there's little details in it. That's really what sells it.
Yeah.
Like the fact that the wire actually makes the C.
Yeah.
Like, it's little things like that I love.
I've always liked the bite out of the bite mark in the microphone.
Right. You know? Crispy, yep.
Yeah. Man, the story of coming up with that logo. Do you remember our original hand-drawn logo that I did, which wasn't really a logo? It was more like this.
A bunch of things thrown together.
It was like a still life picture. It was really awkward. So thank you to Marie 6 years later
yeah,
for creating that logo and saving us from my hand-drawn... I don't even know what
I was
thinking.
Well, to be fair, it was either that or me just doing like bubble letters of the crispy noodle. Like, I don't know what... I can't draw.
No.
I'm atrocious at drawing.
We are always eternally grateful for the amazing work she did with the... Actually, it's a few different styles of logo that we have.
Yeah. But just the idea of the bite in the microphone and the wire forming the C, and
yeah.
it's all perfect, and it's all thanks to her. She's amazing when it comes to logos and stuff like that. And I think she still does work on logos if your company, random plug,
yeah.
If your company needs a logo or something, yeah, definitely go to Marie Thresher. Yeah, she works her magic.
Yeah. All you have to do is look at all of our logos and... There you go. There's
yeah.
the proof right there.
Right.
But yeah, so we celebrated her birthday this past weekend. And other than the birthdays, I also got a chance to finish watching Undone, the Amazon Prime animated dramedy. Not really sure how to classify it. It's the one I mentioned a few weeks ago about the girl having a near-death experience, going into a coma, and then when she wakes up, she discovers she has the ability to travel through time. And she needed to use it to solve her father's murder. Wow. That show was incredible. Really, really short. 8 half-hour episodes. Not even half hour because they're like 22 minutes each. So you could finish it in basically a day because it's about 3 episodes an hour. Wow. Without giving away too much, I have to say that the pitch does not do it justice. Like... The pitch of, time travel, solving murder, that's what hooks you. That's what brings you in. But what keeps you around is the really amazing blend of dark humor, drama, and these really touching character moments. It's so much deeper than I thought it would be. And it's very open to interpretation. I'm trying to be very careful about what I'm saying here.
Yeah.
Because, well, there's a lot of great twists in it, and there's a lot of great moments that leave you wondering, leave you thinking after the episode has ended, after the season has ended, for a lot of different reasons. And it's surprisingly deep. You know, on the surface, you think it's this sci-fi, weird, Inception-y type show. But underneath that all, it deals with some really heavy topics of love and loss and medicine and finding your way in life and all that jazz. It's like the perfect millennial quarter life crisis. No, really, it's spectacular. I know
perfect for Mike.
Yes, perfect for me. you know, I know you're not one for animation, Rich, but even my dad was interested in this show, and that says a lot because
Frank?
He really hates animated shows too.
So he has the Frank
the seal of approval. Yep. He gives it 5 sausages out of 5. That's the best you can hope for from him.
That's
but
a pretty solid ranking.
Yeah. But if you have Amazon Prime, I highly recommend the show. Like I said, you could finish it in about 3 hours tops, the whole first season. And it's one of those shows where I think it's perfectly wrapped up in terms of what you want out of it in the first season. They're probably going to do a second season, but I kind of wish they wouldn't because it ends in such a interesting, poignant, open to interpretation way. Yeah, I'm trying to be very, very careful here.
Yeah.
So definitely go check it out. I hope I've done enough to pique your interest because it's really a standout show for me. And keep an eye on it for possible awards nominations next year.
Okay. And that's on Amazon Prime?
Yes, it is.
All right. There you go. So I guess I can check it out because I got a Prime subscription. So there you go.
But what have you been up to, Rich?
I gotta say, my big highlight for this past week was Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, nice!
Came to the area. They played at the Met, which if you follow me on social media, I said that this was a night of many firsts. First off, it was the first time I was at the Met.
Okay.
In North Philly, just the way my schedule worked out, any of the concerts that I went to go see in the area, they weren't at the Met. So this was my first time being introduced to the Met, and it's a beautiful facility. They poured, I think, something like $50 million into the building, so obviously it was well worth the price. But yeah, it's a great venue they've got down there in North Philly, and I hope to see more shows down at the Met. But also, it was the first time that Stone Temple Pilots played there, and the first time that I heard one of my favorite songs that they played live, Sour Girl, which really blew me away. I felt I got lucky that they decided to play this song. And then the ultimate kicker was that I actually, you know, with my connections at MMR, I got a chance to meet the band.
Oh, awesome.
And that was a little surreal moment. It's one of those things where I remember listening to Stone Temple Pilots because my sister was into, like, 90s rock and grunge and everything like that. And, like, that was on the radio whenever she had, like, her friends over or whenever she was getting ready to go out with her friends or something.
Right.
So it's weird, if I could go back in time and tell, like, my 8-year-old self that, yeah, you're going to get to meet them soon. And, like, you know.
Your 8-year-old self would have probably, like, lost his mind.
Right, you know. Like, it's weird. Like, it's, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of a weird, like, circle, like. You know,
it's the circle
back.
Of life. No.
Not circle of life, because that makes it sound like it's life and death or something. But no, it's just like...
Yeah,
circle,
coming full circle right there.
Circle of coolness. That's what I'm going to go with.
There you go.
Just really cool.
Well, it's like you're meeting one of the musical acts that defined your childhood, you know?
In a weird way, yeah. You know, and also, like, that they're kind of like the only ones left from that era, other than, like, Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's kind of it for the grunge movement and Pearl Jam.
Right.
So it's like kind of like that whole era is kind of fading off. But, yeah, I got a chance to meet them, and they were really cool. The DeMeo brothers, I got to chat with them for a little bit.
How was it meeting them? Like,
yeah,
did they live up to the hype in your mind, or?
Yeah, I mean, it was cool to talk to the, you know, the DeMeo brothers. And I also got a chance to talk with them about Army of Anyone.
Okay.
Because that was another separate project they were in when, like, Stone Temple Pilots was going through their first original band breakup.
Right.
And I got to tell him, like, that was a great album you guys did. That was just like a side project that you guys did when you weren't sure when Stone Temple Pilots was, you know, going to stick around. You know, Scott Weiland was heavy into drugs and he was doing his crazy thing and everything like that. So it was cool that I got to chat with them about that. And like, they kind of were like, oh yeah, that is like the forgotten album, you know, cause they can't play cause they're Stone Temple Pilots right now.
Right.
But they do like the album that they put out. So it was kind of cool, like to retrace history with them. And it was kind of surreal. So it was, definitely a treat that I got to meet, the DeMeo brothers of Stone Temple Pilots. Obviously, it would have been cool if it was, you know, the original, you know, right. Scott Weiland, but unfortunately, you know,
yeah,
that's the way, you know, things go in rock and roll. I also got to talk a little bit to Jeff Gute, the third lead singer, now for Stone Temple Pilots.
Had a lot of lead singers.
Yep. But I tell you what, he does a great job being the front man of Stone Temple Pilots right now, because he has that good blend where he can sing the old songs like Scott Weiland,
right?
But he's not trying to
mimic.
Yeah,
like does he put his own spin to it, kind of thing, or
just enough?
Okay,
just enough where it's you can tell it's Jeff Gute, but it's not. It doesn't feel like a tribute band trying to recreate. You know what I'm talking about?
Right, right.
Like
it's not a one to one translation.
Right,
is what you're saying. I
right,
guess.
Right. Okay. So. They pull off the line. He pulls off the line very well. And, Stone Temple Pilots, I think is just a great quality of music in their library. You can go check out. So highly recommend, Stone Temple Pilots. If they come through the area again, go check them out. And the show was fun to go see, at the Met. So fabulous night all around. It was definitely a treat this week.
Nice.
All right, so now with all the personal stuff out of the way, let's go over the news at hand, and the first batch of topics revolve around sports in the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Sports coming at you in your face here in this first segment. I guess we're going to call a random audible here or dismissal of a play. Because usually we do the two-minute drill, but we have something, again, that we have to talk about, and, you know...
We can't seem to get this story off our plates. We're basically replacing the two-minute drill with the stupidity saga.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
And it's,
because
of course...
this season...
It's, of course, starring the one and only Antonio Brown!
No! God! No! God! Please, no! 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 No!
Oh, my gosh. Again.
So.
Again.
I'm really, really tired of this story. But we can't get away from it. It's just.
Yep.
That's how I feel. So we left things off where previously Antonio Brown had a whole bunch of accusations leveled against him. But he somehow managed to wriggle his way out of Oakland, sign with the Patriots, have a great first game with them. And so the latest news, of course, is that after just 11 days and one game with the New England Patriots, Antonio Brown was released by the Patriots.
You represent what I detest. You're a punk walking in the back door with your hand open, looking for a free lick.
I think that's the way we felt about Antonio Brown when he signed with the Patriots. It was like, oh, great. He's going to ease his way into a Super Bowl win.
Right.
He's getting a free lick.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm glad that he didn't end up having an easy Super Bowl win with the Patriots. Bill Belichick, it seems like he just didn't want to deal with the drama. He didn't want to deal with the controversy. He didn't want to deal with...
Oh, no, he didn't. Absolutely not.
He cut a press conference short after all the questions about Antonio Brown.
I posted it on my Twitter, that press conference. It was you could tell Bill Belichick had enough.
He doesn't mess around with stuff like that. He's a very business-minded, you know, on to the next game type of mentality.
He wants to talk about football only. He doesn't care about shenanigans or anything like that.
Right. It's a distraction to him.
Yeah.
He doesn't want that.
Right. Here, wait. I got the last minute pulled up. This is the last minute where you can clearly tell Belichick is getting annoyed.
Coach, can you just talk a little bit about Antonio Brown's role this weekend?
No. Not going to get into that.
We're going to do what's best for the team like we always do.
But you always say you want what's best for the team. So how do you weigh with your players their performance on the field with their behavior off the field and what's best for the team overall?
Yeah, well, it's a big picture question. You know, we answer it the best we can. There's no set formula.
Well, how important is the behavior off the field?
Everything's important.
Bill, another headline today focusing on Antonio Brown. Does any of this at all affect his status with the team?
Yeah, I think I've already addressed this. So we're going to get ready for the Jets here. Happy to answer any football questions, but the rest of it, I'm done with the rest of it.
Jared, there's never a point where some lockdown stuff is not
okay.
Enough.
So, yeah. That's, yeah, I'm good. Okay. Thank you.
There, wow. There you go. Yeah, I'm good.
He
Thank
was
you.
He was so fed up. I just love that first response. He's like, I'm not going to talk about that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, because would you like to talk? No.
Yeah.
Next question.
That is Bill Belichick, though. You know, he's not about all that. And I think it was hilarious that I think it was like a few hours after that Antonio Brown was cut.
Yeah.
That's when the announcement came down.
I think Bill Belichick realized, like, I'm going to have to do this every single week.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. That's exactly what we were talking about, is that at some point teams have to hold their players accountable for their actions off the field or else it becomes a distraction. And Bill Belichick was finally the guy that said, you know what? This is enough of this.
As much as I hate the Patriots, I got to respect Bill Belichick, man. That is just old school. Like, I don't have to answer your question. No.
And that is the exact right response. And the Patriots had the exact right response in cutting Antonio Brown. But now Antonio Brown had possibly the worst possible response to all this when he calls out NFL owners and the Players Association on Twitter, suggesting that he has some sort of a case to recoup the almost $40 million in guaranteed money that he lost. I have the tweet here. He said, quote, "Will not be playing in the NFL anymore. These owners can cancel deals, whatever they want at any time. We will see if the NFLPA hold them accountable. Sad they can just void guarantees anytime. Going on 40 mil, 2 months. We'll see if they pay up." End quote. So,
wow.
a lot of things.
It's about to get all stupid up in here.
Yeah, there's a lot packed into this tweet. Let's unpack it. First, will not be playing in the NFL anymore. Is he retired? Is he just...
He claims he is.
Stamping his feet and crossing his arms?
I think it's more of a child, you know, not getting his way syndrome.
Yeah. So we have the retirement, not retirement, temper tantrum. Then he calls out the owners. These owners can cancel deals, do whatever they want at any time. Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah.
There are clauses in every single contract about conduct detrimental to the team. It's like standard operating procedure in the NFL.
This isn't NBA or Major League Baseball. You chose NFL, and the NFL, the general managers and the owners can cut you for any reason, any given time.
And I guess he would have kind of a case if they just decided to, you know, manufacture the situation. But it's the other way around. He manufactured the situation. There are reports that he went to social media experts to help him expedite his exit from the Raiders. And then he has all these accusations leveled against him. If you want your $40 million, maybe don't put yourself in a situation where you're having sexual assault allegations raised against you.
Yeah, that's a whole different ballgame, too, because, I don't know, this is... Not to say that Bill Belichick would defend a sexual harassment predator person, but if Bill Belichick, you know...
Yeah. If not even he's willing to stick up for you and put up with this, that's a really bad sign.
Yeah. I mean, he had Aaron Hernandez on his roster.
Yes. And that
killed
the
guy.
Yeah. He was an actual murderer.
Yeah.
You make a dark, albeit very strong point that if Bill Belichick is not willing to go to bat for you, you done goofed.
Yeah.
There is
something seriously wrong.
Yeah. And... I don't know. What do you think? Do you think he has a case here with getting this guaranteed money back?
No, absolutely not. No, he lost it.
Yeah.
I
don't think there's the slightest chance in hell he sees that money.
No.
And, I mean, the Players Association is going to have to say or do something about it at some point. That's their job. But I don't think they're going to pursue it with the same type of level of interest or, you know, commitment they would for a player who's actually been wronged. I don't see Antonio Brown as being wronged here. I feel like he did this all to himself.
Yeah.
From the very start. as soon as he was, you know, traded to the Raiders. This has downward spiral.
This has all been the Antonio Brown show. He's been leading this whole charade.
Yeah. So I don't feel sorry for him in the least. I feel like he's finally getting what he deserves. And I don't know. I think it's time for him to just leave the NFL. Just be done. I'm tired of this story. I'm tired of hearing about him. I'm tired of having to cover it. I'm running out of ways to call this guy stupid.
Yeah.
Without making this an R-rated show.
Though, I gotta admit, with the Eagles having problems being able to catch the ball, would you ever consider the idea of maybe placing a call to Antonio Brown?
God, no. No.
Consider.
I mean, maybe there was a moment where I was like, where I was like, wouldn't that be an interesting scenario? And then I remembered all this nonsense, how we would be forced to talk about him every week, just like Bill Belichick, and how I wouldn't want the Eagles to tarnish their integrity like that.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, it's an interesting, tantalizing little thing to entertain in the dark recesses of your mind, but don't let it creep to the forefront of the mind.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much in the same boat. I'd say, sure, I bet you Howie at least, you know, gave it some thought.
I think every GM did, yeah.
Right, but then doing your due diligence and realizing that Bill Belichick couldn't defend him, there's probably some smoke there's probably some fire behind the smoke.
Well, more than that, here's a guy that's on a clear vendetta, right? You know he's going to want to have something similar to the Patriots deal where it's like $15, $20 million 1 year. So just financially, it puts him out of a lot of teams' reach. Then you have to figure, he's been through three teams in 8 months. Who's to say he's still going to be here week 8 or 9? You know? So it's a huge risk in terms of team chemistry and continuity. It's just not enough upside anymore.
No.
And he did that to himself.
Yep.
But
which is a shame. He has the talent to be a top five wide receiver.
He absolutely does. Without a doubt, he's one of the most gifted wide receivers in the league. If he would just shut up and stay focused on the game and not have so many off the field issues and potential legal issues, you know, disgusting.
Yeah.
So completely entitled. And I made the case last week, if anybody in the real world did even a quarter of the stuff that he had done, they would have been fired and possibly arrested by now.
The line in the sand is that, look, T.O. had his problems, but he still showed up to play.
It was more of a circus than, like, going nuclear on teams.
Right. He still played.
Right.
Randy Moss had his troubles, but he still played.
Right. Exactly.
I can't believe it's gotten to this point where he's just up and left. He's throwing a tantrum.
He's stamping his feet. Yeah.
Throwing millions of dollars out the window. Just, nope, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. And it's all on his shoulders.
Yeah.
He can't blame anybody else other than himself. And unfortunately, that's the thing that is going to prevent him from getting signed again. Is teams are going to look at this and say, look at how entitled, look at how selfish, look at how just stubborn he is in accountability.
Right.
Yeah.
So
it's not worth it.
No.
But you mentioned how you may have entertained the thought of Antonio Brown coming to the Eagles because of all of the Eagles' woes in the passing and receiving game. I think that's a great segue to talk about the last Eagles game when the Eagles lost a heartbreaker to the Detroit Lions, 27-24.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Oh, yeah, this was... So, I was worried. I said this could be a trap game.
So, what's going on with this game? Where do you want to begin breaking this down?
I know you like to do good, bad, and ugly.
I do. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, so you can do your good, bad, and ugly, but for me the problem is we are decimated at the wide receiver position. This game actually goes the other way. If the Eagles had decent receivers, if DeSean Jackson or Alshon Jeffrey were on board and they had somebody that could catch the ball, because the fault of this game is not on Carson Wentz. I can't believe how much criticism Carson Wentz got in this game. He did, as far as I'm concerned, he did everything that you could ask from your franchise quarterback in this game. But
he had a 95 quarterback rating.
Yeah, but when your wide receivers have 7 dropped passes, you're not going to win games. And then you have two huge turnovers.
Yeah,
Aguilar fumbling and then and not catching the ball. It's Aguilar's back on my crap list. Like I can't believe
he's had a really really rough go of it recently.
That's
Nelson
two
Aguilar.
Games in a row yeah. where he dropped a huge pass that would have changed the momentum of the game.
I'll say this in defense of
Aguilar. Two games back to back.
I'll say this in defense of Aguilar. He did come up with two touchdowns. So I feel like he
but
did.
But he's the only guy. He's the only one. He's the only receiver.
I know. and that's the problem is that we're in this situation now where there's
we're riding a team right now where John Bruno thought the guy's name was Matt Hollins.
Yeah, Matt Hollins.
Yeah. No, it's
instead
Mac.
Of Mac Hollins. Yeah. It's looking really bad out there, and I'm really disheartened to see all the criticism Wentz has been getting. You mentioned my brother. I wish he were here to give his points their justice, but he says, oh, there's just something different with Wentz. There's just something off.
Yeah, he's down two key weapons.
Yeah, and the players who we thought would step up, like Dallas Goedert, one target, zero catches, 0 yards, zero touchdowns, zero everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're looking for some players to step up. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Everybody was really big on him. Mac Hollins. Everybody on the Eagles subreddit thinks Mac Hollins is going to be the next, I don't even know what, Randy Moss, T.O., some stellar. But he's done nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing the past three seasons. So nobody's stepping up. The only person trying to step up is Carson Wentz. Statistically, he's having a fine season so far. It's everything else that is really causing this team to struggle. Like you said, the receiving. I feel like we're not we have the yards. It's weird because I'm looking at the stats here and we had 127 yards on the ground, but it didn't seem to really accomplish anything. We weren't really going anywhere. Oh, well, that's why 33 were from Carson Wentz. You can't have you know, your quarterback accounting for a quarter of the rushing yards. It's the biggest problem for me right now is not Carson Wentz. It's not even the receiver so much as it is there's been, I think, a big difference in the coaching, the quality of the coaching and the play calling the past year and three games. In 2017, it seemed like they always had the right play for the right situation with the right personnel on the field. Didn't matter who was out there. That's why we had all those injuries. Remember? We dealt with injuries before, and they just seemed like, doesn't matter who's out there, doesn't matter who's on the play, everybody looked like a superstar. Trey Burton, Nelson Aguilar with his best career year, taking these washed-up running backs and making them superstars again. Corey Clement looked like he was going to be the next, you know, LeSean McCoy. Where is he now? Nowhere. And I think that comes down...
Well, so far, yeah, the difference is Frank Reich.
I think so. I think Mike Rowe doesn't know what he's doing. And I think it's clear with the play calling and just always, like, I've never understood the pass on first down thing. Because if you drop that pass or it gets blown up somehow, you're already in second and 10 and you're already playing from behind. You know, Andy Reid always used to, he always used to like to run. He didn't do it often, but run on first down to try and get a few yards.
Most offenses do.
Most offenses do. It's a low risk play. You know,
right?
And we're not doing that. We're not getting the ground game going like we used to. We're not calling plays that are working towards our personnel that we have out there on the field. We're calling long bombs to Mac Hollins and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and they're not able to come down with the ball. And Dallas Goedert not able to come down with the ball. You need to adjust based on the personnel that you have out there. You can't just say like, oh, well, we'll just plug and play anybody. It doesn't work that way.
No. Yeah, you have to alter the game plan. And for these receivers, you really have to significantly alter the game plan because, I don't know, man, this is the NFL. If you're on an NFL roster, some of these catches you have to
make. Seven dropped passes.
Yeah, that kills you. That's not from your quarterback.
No, it's not. They hit him in the hands.
Yeah.
A lot of those drop passes hit them in the hands. And people are like, oh, well, he should have led the receiver a little bit. Excuse me, he's scrambling for his life. Because the pocket is collapsing around him, one of the most pressured quarterbacks in the NFL right now, trying to make a play, trying to win the game, and you want him to lead him more, not being able to step into his throw, throwing on the run? You want him to lead him more?
Yeah.
The one I'm referring to, I think, is the one deep to Arcega-Whiteside, where he had to he had to turn around. It still hit him. It hit him in both hands.
Yeah.
What's the old schoolyard adage? If it hits you in both hands, you should catch the ball.
Yeah. This is the NFL.
I remember people saying that in the schoolyard. If it hits you in the hands, you got to catch the ball.
Right. Uh huh. Yeah. But
they're getting paid millions of dollars to make that catch.
Yep. So yeah, the Eagles desperately need Alshon and Deshaun immediately.
Yeah.
Because this team isn't going anywhere without them.
Well, the good news is that they're supposedly getting Alshon Jeffrey back for their upcoming game, but man, I don't know. At some point, we're going to have to deal with this injury issue. They've been one of the most injured teams in the league the past 2 years. Now you have former Eagles players coming out and saying that the medical staff that the Eagles have are not good. They misdiagnosed people. They didn't give them the proper treatments.
My good friend, Emmanuel,
Acho, I can't remember.
Acho,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, calling out the Eagles training staff.
Yeah.
For as much as Chip Kelly got wrong, he got one thing absolutely right, and that was whatever regimen he had the players on, we never had any injuries.
Very rarely.
We were one of the healthiest teams. I think it's because the offense barely touched the field.
But that also, too. That also helps, yeah.
You know, I don't know what the solution is, but they got to figure something. Because they're in a situation now, if we go to 1-3, we're not making the playoffs.
No.
The odds of a team that dropped to 1-3 making the playoffs is like non-existent.
Nope. And 538 just came out with their first quarter season predictions.
Oh boy.
And the Eagles have fallen to 8-8.
I think that's being optimistic at this point.
Yeah.
This early part of the schedule, this first quarter, when I looked at the schedule when it first came out, I said they got to go 3-1 or possibly 4-0 because we're getting ready to head into the middle 8 games of the season are the most difficult for us. We got the Vikings, we got the Seahawks, we got the Bears, the Patriots, the Cowboys.
Yeah.
This is not a stretch of schedule that is to be messed around with. And we might go into it 1-3.
Yep. It's not
I don't want to sound all doom and gloom 3 weeks in. There's definitely still time to turn things around, but the window is rapidly closing.
Yeah, and the panic button is getting bigger and bigger.
I mean, my hand was already hovering it over, you know, over it after the Falcons game because I saw the way things were going, and the Lions game really solidified that in my mind. How about this stat? Only one defensive lineman has a sack. Do you know who it is? Tim Jernigan.
Tim Jernigan does. and he's on the injury report.
Yeah, you laugh, but you know that's bad.
That's bad.
That's real bad.
Yep.
Yeah, our one defensive lineman who has a sack is on injured reserve.
Hooray.
So how the Eagles have not already traded for Jalen Ramsey is buzz.
That's not happening. I'm telling you. I told you this last
what's
week.
What's the solution? Tank the season?
It might be. They're not going to get Jalen Ramsey. Uh-uh.
Okay.
And actually, at this point, I think the Jaguars have realized that it's better to appease him and hold on to him. I don't think they're going to trade him at all now.
Well, the latest that I heard, as of the time of this recording, this will probably change as soon as this episode goes live.
Yeah.
The owner stepped in to squash a trade that the Eagles were close on over the weekend.
Yeah,
that's the last that I heard.
It's
so
not going to happen. I think Jalen Ramsey stays with the Jaguars.
That's really upsetting.
You know
because
why?
They need to do something.
No, you know what? I know we're going off on a side topic here.
Okay,
but it all came down to last Thursday's game. It was Jaguars versus Titans, and the Jaguars going in that were 0-2.
Right.
If they lose that game and they go 0-3, okay, I can see them selling the farm, fire sale.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But now they won that game and they won it decisively.
They did.
So they have and it was against the Titans too. So they have a
division.
They have a huge division win. They're 1-2. That's salvageable.
Right.
And Gardner looks like a decent quarterback.
In that division, 1-2 is absolutely salvageable.
Yeah, and a strong defense, they got a shot to win the division
if Ramsey plays.
And
because he's saying he's not.
They'll look if you have a chance to win the division and make it to the playoffs, a realistic shot, you'll do it.
All right. Well, I mean that's heartbreaking news for me because I'm looking at the Eagles.
Not happening.
I don't see them making any sort of change or any sort of proactive approach to fixing things. I see a lot of reactionary things. I don't see them doing anything to make things better. We sat and slept on Clowney. We sat and slept on Minka Fitzpatrick, and we made a shot at Ramsey. But if the Jags really do keep him and appease him, that's three misses.
Yep.
So yeah. What do you? So now looking back at the Clowney thing, I was a champion for getting Clowney. Nobody else wanted Clowney. Now we're sitting here two defensive linemen down. Clowney would have been really nice to have because yep. Fletcher Cox clearly can't play right now. Still dealing, coming off of an injury or whatever the case may be. You know, I said Minkah Fitzpatrick, we should go get him. Everybody said, oh, we have so much depth at corner. Yeah, but it's subpar depth. Depth only matters if the first guy up is good. But when you start, the first guy up is barely average.
And depth, now he's hurt.
And now he's hurt. Depth from that point on is not good. So, yeah. You know, there's lots of ways you can fix this. You can somehow miraculously heal your two missing defensive tackles and get that pass rush back. You can go and find players to supplement the team. And I don't mean, you know, third stringers from the Miami Dolphins, who is currently starting next to Fletcher Cox. Or you just somehow convince everybody to play better. Two of those options are impossible. So that leaves one option.
You
got to go and find outside help, and they're not doing it.
You can hear the panic. I think Mike's hitting the panic button. I don't think he's hovering on it. I think he's hitting that panic button.
My hand is as close to pushing this button as you can possibly get.
I think you're pushing it. I think you're already
you're not
there.
You're not feeling it though. There is a distinct difference so far, and I know we've been missing the wide receivers these past 2 weeks. Maybe it all completely changes, but there's larger systemic issues at play. You know what I mean?
Yes, there are. So I would agree. Yeah, it's not looking good right now for the Eagles. But with that in mind, you know, speaking of looking into the future, that's a perfect segue into our next segment where we go over four games that we think you should keep an eye out in the Fantastic Four picks for week number four. Yeah, four's everywhere. Fantastic yeah. Four picks week number four. And, yeah, let's launch into it. This is four games that we think you should keep an eye out for. So, Mike, right. What do you want to start off on?
First up, we have a couple of AFC powerhouses facing off against each other. The New England Patriots travel to Buffalo? That's right. The 3-0 Patriots facing off against division rival 3-0 Buffalo Bills Sunday, September 29th at 1 p.m. Rich, who do you got in this one, and why is it the Patriots?
This is weird. Why are the Bills 3-0?
I don't know, but they are, and this is a big division game for them. Everybody likes to laugh off the Bills, but I don't know. What do you think? Do you think they actually have a shot against the Patriots?
You know, it's weird because when it comes to a division game, you can't officially do 100%.
Right.
Anything can happen in a division game.
Right.
That being said, you know, you still got to go with the Patriots, even though they're going to be on the road. And Josh Allen apparently is actually starting to turn the corner into a decent quarterback. Apparently, he found out he's got legs. Did you know that?
I did not.
He's actually been one of the top rushing quarterbacks.
Well, that's a risky thing to live and die by, but I mean, I guess whatever gets it done for them, right?
Yeah. So even though they have all those good things going for them, I think it's still the Patriots. It's the Patriots.
Yeah, I think
although, it's, what a statement win if the Bills pull this off.
If the Bills pull it off, that, man, that would be amazing. But
they're at home. They could.
Yeah, but you know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at, this is the craziest thing about the Patriots right now, is not their offense, their defense, allowing 5.7 points per game.
Yeah.
That is absurd. Across three games, 5 points. And I know they've played, you know, soft opponents, but that is it ridiculous.
Yes, even for teams that you're not expecting much out of, that is ridiculous for a defense.
Yeah.
The Patriots defense is what's going to carry them to a Super Bowl run this year.
They are playing at a level that is right now unprecedented.
If the defense is that good, Tom Brady doesn't have to be
right. You know, he doesn't have to do anything.
Right.
So for that reason alone, I'm going with the Patriots.
What a shocker.
Next up, we have a battle for the North. The Minnesota Vikings travel to Chicago to face off against the Bears. It's a 4:25 game. Rich, who do you like in this one?
I got...
It's a tough one.
I got the same feeling. I know you might hate this for the... might hate me for this.
Okay.
I have the same feeling I have about the Patriots that I have towards the Vikings. The Vikings defense has been smothering opponents. And they've also found out they've got a decent running back core, which in turn has made Kirk Cousins, again, he just has to be a game manager.
He's a game manager, I know.
But I know, you use that as a knock against him.
No, but I mean, if he gets the job done.
But, right, they don't need Kirk Cousins to throw 40 times in a game and put 300 passing yards up. Matt, I think the one game, Kirk Cousins only had like 180 passing yards or something.
Yeah, he's barely throwing the ball.
Yeah,
which is a good thing for them,
right? Because they're going old school, ground and pound, and then on defense be as stout as possible. And also on the flip side, I don't trust the Bears' offense. They look, I don't know, man. They look sluggish. They don't look. They look like they don't know what to do with their running backs.
They are in the bottom four or five teams in terms of total yards of offense this season. They have, hold on, I have the specific number, 825 over three games.
Total yards. Yeah. They look like they don't know how to handle running backs.
Yeah. So I think it's safe to say you're going with the Vikings.
Yeah, I like the Vikings.
And I agree here. Mitchell Trubisky for the Bears, this was supposed to be the season that he took it to another level, and it's just not there. And the defense is just average. The offense is less than average. And I know they're home right now in this game against the Vikings. And I know they're still a tough opponent, but the Vikings right now, things are clicking for them. You're right. And as much as I hate to say it, Kirk Cousins doesn't have to do much.
Yeah, it's not like last year where he was chucking 40, 50 pass attempts.
Right.
And, you know, throwing, 4,200 yards in a season. He doesn't have to do it.
No. They're one of the best at running the ball. They're putting up good points. They're near the top of the pack in points per game. So I'm going with the Vikings on this one. As much as I hate to say it, I got to go with the Vikings. Next up, we have some early NFC favorites, the Dallas Cowboys at the New Orleans Saints. It is a Sunday primetime game. Can the Saints do it without Drew Brees?
So I got to give the Saints credit. Even though they have Teddy Bridgewater in, they looked fantastic going into Seattle and pulling up a huge road win last week.
That was pretty clutch.
And they were up early in that game, too. They were manhandling the Seahawks defense. So even though they don't have Drew Brees, this isn't a situation where it's you write them off automatically. But on the flip side, I gotta admit, Dallas is looking pretty good. As much as I don't like to say, you know, good things about the Cowboys, as long as that trio is healthy, Dak, Zeke, and Cooper, I don't see any defense stopping them. So unfortunately, I'm gonna go with Dallas winning this and going to 4-0.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're absolutely right. Dallas, right now, I hate to say it, they're right there in, like, the top 10 of, like, almost every measurable.
Yep.
You know, offense, defense.
Now, keep in mind, though, they have played three of the worst teams in their first three games. So the stats are a little bit skewed.
Yes, the stats may be a little bit skewed, but also New Orleans is without Drew Brees, and I know that they had a tough road win against the Seahawks, but stuff like that normally doesn't continue week after week after week. They may have had one good one, maybe now they're going to have one bad one. You know, it's unavoidable without Drew Brees in that offense. You know, they're not the same offense.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Dallas, even though it's a road game for them. Oh, and now, if you're listening to this Thursday, you can switch over briefly and check out your very own hometown Philadelphia Eagles at Green Bay Packers. They're at Lambeau. Rich, it's kind of weird talking about a game happening right now. But
yeah, Thursday night games throw us off.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this comes at the worst possible time for the Eagles. They're still reeling from injuries.
Short week. At Lambeau.
At Green Bay. Everything points to Green Bay in this.
You know what worries me the most is Green Bay's defense.
Yeah.
They are surprisingly good.
That's what they did this whole offseason. They retooled their defense, and it's paying off in spades right now.
Remember how I mentioned the Patriots only gave up 5.7 points per game? You know who second is?
Green Bay.
11.7 points per game.
There you go.
And the Eagles, you know what they're not doing?
Yeah, they're not stopping the pass.
There you go. They're not putting up points. The Eagles aren't stopping the pass. So if there's ever a game for Aaron Rodgers to turn it up, it's now. I know they're on a short week too, but my gut says the Eagles lose this one, and we drop to 1-3, and
everything in Philadelphia goes up in flames.
There you go.
There you go. That's our
that's all we got for you.
That's all we got for you. That's our Fantastic Four picks for week number 4 of the NFL season. All right, so really, there you go.
I really do hate to sound doom and gloom, but
no, I mean it's
yeah. I have a knack for these things. In 2017, I was saying it from like week 7 or 8, the Eagles were going to win the Super Bowl, and I'm saying it now in week 3, the Eagles are not going to win the Super Bowl.
There you
I
go.
Have a feeling for these things. Don't worry, yeah. Guys. I'm looking into the crystal ball.
Right. I think you're right on
I'm
that.
Just trying to help people brace for it early.
Yeah, we're getting it out of the way early. So there you go. That's our complete NFL sports sampler there. Hopefully you enjoyed it. But we still have more shows still to come. And it won't be all doom and gloom because we got to talk about the Emmys and the entertainment entree. And then, as usual, par for the course, I've got this week's batch of odd news that we've got to get to. We got some stories from Florida and Vegas, oddly enough. So don't go anywhere. We still have plenty more shows still to come here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Don't go anywhere.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunching.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
We're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Man, yeah, it was a rough week for Philadelphia fans, as you can hear in our voice in the sports sampler. But, you know, it's not all doom and gloom because we have some other topics to get to that revolve around entertainment in our next segment. So let's launch into it, shall we? It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
With the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
And ironically, being one of my old co-workers took the ladder off the truck, raised it up, and was assisting people down. My man just started throwing babies out the window. Wow. We was catching them, unlike Aguilar and his mishaps. I like to put that out there.
Yeah, there you go. The ultimate Philly fan.
That has got to be the most Philly thing ever.
I would just like to point that out there, unlike Aguilar.
Yeah, we was catching babies, unlike Nelson Aguilar.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That is the famous Philadelphia viral news interview that's popular right now. Hakeem Laws. He was the hero of a scene where there was a fast-moving fire in Philadelphia. And, he saved a lot of lives. So shout out to him for actually being a hero, first and foremost.
Yeah.
But also, as second, as an actual Philadelphia fan. Because if I did something like that and I got interviewed, I probably would have said something like that, too.
I think every Philadelphia fan probably would have at that point.
Yeah.
And I don't know any other fan base where you can literally save somebody from a fire, turn around, give an interview, and then crap on your team.
Yeah.
You know, in like the same motion, you know, like talk about, oh, yeah, I save people. You know,
unlike Aguilar.
Unlike Aguilar.
Yeah. He's back on my crap list.
It's so true, though, because those plays, those losses, they stick with you.
Yeah.
You know, I always say, like, when the Eagles lose, it ruins my entire week.
It really does.
It does. It does. And so I understand where this guy is coming from.
At least Monday and Tuesday it does.
Yeah. Yeah, because then by Wednesday you're looking forward to the next one.
I'll tell you what. I walked into work on Monday, and I swear I didn't hear a peep.
Yeah.
Like, it was just dead quiet. And yeah, like,
you,
nobody,
if you work with a lot of football fans.
And
yeah,
nobody wanted to talk. Nobody said, hi, how you doing? Nobody said good morning. It was just like...
But
I don't think it was fun hangover party stuff.
No.
I think it was Eagles loss.
Thankfully, we have this guy to add a little bit of levity to it, and then more levity. Nelson Aguilar himself commented on the video. He tweeted out that, quote, "Thank you for being a hero in the community. Would like to invite you and your family to the next home game. Twitter, help me out and get me in touch with him." End quote. So that's a really classy move by Aguilar.
Yeah.
He's a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
You know, he has his issues on the field sometimes, but, you know.
He's the opposite of Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Fantastic person off the field. On the field, I have problems.
Yeah. I mean, can we ever get an intersection between those two things, you know? Can we just...
Apparently not.
Well, I'll settle for the stand-up, you know, person instead of the nuke your team person.
Yeah.
But that's enough about football.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Stop talking about football.
You can't keep drawing. You're going to make me upset again thinking about the loss.
Right. We got to look forward to the future. And one of the things that we can look towards the future with optimism is the segment where Mike lets us know what's coming up in movies and TV for this weekend in Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
My ball.
All right. Well, if South Park isn't your thing.
Oh, my ball.
What else do you have for us, Mike?
Well, I have. Well, you know, it's funny because South Park is a comedy and this also is a comedy. The Day Shall Come is a new satirical comedy hitting theaters this week about Homeland Security trying to turn an absurd homeless preacher into the next terrorist threat. I want to see this movie solely for a single line from the trailer, in which the preacher says that they don't use guns, they don't believe in guns, that instead they believe that blowing a trumpet will bring the dinosaurs to their side to help them. I don't know.
What?
Yeah, it's the funniest line ever. You got to go check out the trailer. He's telling this one police person, you know, we don't believe in guns, we don't use them. The dinosaurs will come to our aid. We believe that when we blow a trumpet that they will come to us. And
like,
I was like,
what? The rapture?
I don't know. I don't know, but I want to see the movie just for that line. It struck me as so funny, and so far critics are enjoying it as well. The film has earned a 75 on Metacritic and an 83% on Rotten Tomatoes. Once again, that's The Day Shall Come. Check out the trailers. It's really good, or it seems really good. That's hitting theaters this week. And in TV, as we head deeper into the fall TV season, more networks are premiering their big shows. Fox is bringing out all of its animated comedies starting Sunday. Meanwhile, NBC is bringing a full slate of live-action comedies, the headliner of which is the fourth and final season of the philosophical comedy, The Good Place.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite shows.
Oh, I'm so glad that you recommended this and got me into it. It is so good. Fresh off of 3 Emmy nominations, this show has captured the hearts and minds of fans everywhere with its unique blend of absurdist humor, easy-to-digest philosophy, and genuinely touching character moments. The third season left us all eagerly awaiting how the grand experiment will conclude, so make sure you tune in for the final season. Rich, how excited are you for this final season?
I'm excited, but I'm also sad that this is going to be the last season. I really think this is one of the most smart written shows. That probably didn't sound right. The most, I don't know.
One of the most smartly written
shows.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
It's a very smart show.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to get at.
It's very tender. It's very smart. It's very funny. And it's got Kristen Bell in it. So
Ted Danson, too. He won an Emmy for Best Supporting Actor. So this is just loaded with talent. And I just think every part of this show is great, from the directing to the writing to the acting. It's just brilliant. It's smart. I love it. If you haven't seen it, I don't know why you haven't. I would make the case it's probably one of either this or Succession is probably the best show on TV right now.
In my opinion, in terms of comedies, The Good Place definitely, absolutely one of the best right now. So yeah. Go check it out. It's back this week for its fourth and final season. Go support them. That's A Good Place on NBC. And that's what we're looking forward to this week in entertainment.
All right. So there you go, Mike. Thank you for that segment, This Week in Entertainment. Now it's time to get to the big event that happened this past week in the entertainment world, the 71st Primetime Emmy Awards, where we get to compare shows and brag about what we did see, what we didn't see, and any surprises and snubs that happen. How do you want to start this off? Do you want to just go through, do you want to go through surprises? Do you want to go through the big ones? Do you want to go through shows you love? Shows you're crazy?
Let's start with some of the big ones. And of course, the biggest one is Game of Thrones winning its fourth straight Emmy for Outstanding Drama Series for its final season. Game of Thrones now holds the Emmy record for most wins by a scripted show. And I know there's probably a lot of people out there. They're like, oh, Game of Thrones, grumble, grumble, grumble. I get it. The eighth season wasn't the best. But this is one of those awards, I feel, that it's a quote-unquote body of work award, right? You know, eight seasons over a decade on TV, changing the TV landscape, changing how we think about big budget, sprawling fantasy epics on TV, TV being a viable medium for those types of shows. So it's very much a body of work type award. And in that regard, I think it's well deserving of Outstanding Drama Series.
So there you go.
My little spiel.
I would say, even though Game of Thrones won, I would still say, if you have not gotten a chance yet, check out Succession and Bodyguard on Netflix. Those are two amazing shows, and it's probably one of those scenarios where there's too many good shows that it can't really stand out from the pack, especially with Game of Thrones in their last season. But don't sleep on those shows. I really enjoyed Bodyguard, and I really enjoyed Succession.
I would like to call out Better Call Saul.
Oh, yeah, Better Call Saul
fantastic.
Is
fantastic. Bob Odenkirk is just so good.
He always runs into like the either Game of Thrones or one of the other major shows, and they never get to nominate him.
Maybe next year. Maybe next year he'll finally get its recognition. The other show that I want to call out is Killing Eve. I've been talking about it recently. So good. The psychology of the characters is just so interesting, and every moment that the killer is on screen is just mesmerizing. I'm going to jump ahead just a tiny bit because I started talking about her. She won Outstanding Lead Actress in a drama series, Jodie Comer, for playing Villanelle in Killing Eve. And, I mean, if that doesn't speak to the quality of the acting, I don't know what does. I mean, just an absolutely mesmerizing actress. You really have to watch her. She plays not only her character, but her character, being an international assassin, plays all these other characters in disguising herself to carry out her hits. And it is so fun watching just her sadistic nature, but also the really funny moments and watching her play this, you know, huge cast of characters. It's really, really good. Really, really good. I know I sort of jumped ahead there.
Yeah. Do you want me to go back to something else?
Yeah, go ahead.
I loved that Bandersnatch won for Outstanding Television Movie. That was one of my favorite media projects of the last year.
So cool. I loved it. It was, I love trying to find all the weird different endings, you know, and all the different ways that you can. I messed up so bad the first time. I can't remember what happened, but it ended like abruptly, like halfway through, because I got somebody killed or something random happened. But that was the fun of it, you know,
right,
is finding all that stuff.
It was like choose your own adventure, but on freaking meth or something, or on acid or something.
It was very cool.
Yeah.
It was really well thought out. Just the way in which they presented it, where if you messed up, you could go back like a little bit and it did like a recap
yeah.
of everything you did. Like, it didn't force you to watch the entire like hour and a half movie.
No, it did like a snippet of, yeah. of the main plot points.
Yeah, so really smartly done adapting something like that to a movie, you know, because it could have been really bad where you had to like watch the whole thing over again
yeah.
or go by chapter. But the way they handled it was good. What else do you want to talk about?
I got to talk about Chernobyl.
I knew that's probably where you were going.
Oh, yeah.
Go.
I mean, I loved Chernobyl when it first came out, and I said it was going to win awards, and it did win Outstanding Limited Series, which is probably the big one, so yeah. I'm glad that it got the heavy-hitting one. Also, the director won, I believe, for Outstanding
yes,
Directing.
Yes, Outstanding Directing, and the one that I like is Outstanding Writing. I mean, I think they did a fantastic job. The scene that always sticks out to me is... I think it was the last episode where he's doing the debriefing, the law, the legal thing, you know, the court case.
Oh, the trial.
The trial, yeah. yeah. And just explaining how everything happened.
Right. Yeah. Right. How do you explain how the nuclear reactor explodes to a simple minded audience?
Right.
That took a lot of skill.
And we are simple. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, you gotta face facts. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can't go over the intricacies of a nuclear reactor.
Right. Not in a 5-hour limited series.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a very difficult watch because it was very sad. And very haunting, and you can't believe that those things actually happened. But that's what I think makes it worthwhile.
Yeah.
You know, is to reflect and think like, man, this stuff is possible. And to really get a better appreciation for the people that sacrificed to prevent it from being, you know, a globe-ending event type thing.
Yeah.
You know?
It's an amazing show. And I can't believe, you know, I know a couple of people that... They go, you know, oh, it has to do with death. I don't want to watch it. And it's like...
Unfortunately, that's part of life.
Yeah. And especially when you're dealing with a life lesson like, this could happen again.
Right.
You know, when you have a state government that is more interested in keeping their image intact as opposed to fixing problems.
Right.
That's like the underlying core of the foundation of the theme of this series. It's so worth your time, and I can't believe there's still people that are like, I don't want to watch it.
And I think
it's about history. I know what happens at the end. Good for you.
Right. That's that's such a reductionist way of looking at it, and I think it's doubly worthwhile in today's current climate because we're facing a lot of issues that pose threats to. You know, a global scale. And I really love the fact that the whole thing was bracketed in this context, this frame of lies and the truth, you know, very powerful, important stuff that it's dealing with. And it's absolutely worth the watch. Chernobyl winning 3 Emmys for HBO, fantastic limited series.
Yeah.
Definitely go check it out.
I wish it would have grabbed one of the acting ones, though. But, you know, can't win them all.
Well, you know what the thing is? I mean, they were up against such tough...
Competition,
yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, you have to pick and choose what it wins. You know, and I'm glad that it won the big one. So, some of the other big awards... the big winner of the night, actually, was Fleabag from Prime Video... And this is unfortunately one that I, one, had never heard of, and two, had never watched.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I did not know this series.
And it's not that I want to crap all over it, but I'm looking at this category, Outstanding Comedy Series. It won for Outstanding Comedy Series. That was the big one that it won. I'm looking at this category, and I'm going, they got it way wrong. Barry, The Good Place, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Russian Doll.
Russian Doll, that's another one. Oh.
I watched all of these shows except for Fleabag and Schitt's Creek. And I mean, these are some of the best shows on TV. I'd never even heard. I've never seen anything written about it. I'm sure it's very good. But I don't know. I feel like there were other shows that were... more deserving.
Russian Doll is another one, by the way. If you haven't checked that one out, Russian Doll is fantastic. But yeah, I kind of feel in the same boat. I mean,
I couldn't even tell you what it's about.
Yeah, it's hard to critique when you haven't seen it. So yeah. Obviously we're not going to do that.
Right.
But it does feel a little bit kind of out of nowhere. It was, you know, it's not to diss Amazon, but it's only a Prime Video thing.
Yeah.
So I guess I never, I just kind of blew, I kind of blew right past it on the streaming service.
You absolutely have to try some Prime Video shows. Like The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, you should definitely give that a shot.
That one last year, right?
That one last year, yeah.
So I guess Amazon Prime is actually doing pretty decent when it comes to these awards.
This is how I break it down: is you go to Netflix for the dramas, and you go to Prime Video for the comedies. Apparently,
I guess that's a good rule of thumb. Apparently,
well, because you have to figure what was that show? Transparent won several years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and then you have Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, now Fleabag. That's three Emmy comedy series comedy for series. Prime Video.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But yeah, I'm a little disappointed, especially when you're talking about Barry and The Good Place and Russian Doll. Yeah, these and Veep.
So many heavy hitters in that category.
Yep.
Another big category: Outstanding Variety Talk Series. Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. I mean, that's basically a given at this point.
Yeah,
such a good show.
What, 4 years in a row now? Three or four?
Something like that.
Yeah,
I think it's at least three or four. Man, you know, I can't say enough good things about that show. And I'm always finding myself defending it because actually my dad doesn't enjoy it. He says John Oliver's too goofy.
Too goofy.
And I always have to remind him, and I'm saying, you know, he's goofy because he's making really complex, tough topics digestible. And once you get past the goofiness, he does a really good job of laying out an argument in an incredibly well-structured format. Like, he has his thesis, he supports it with evidence, he cites his sources, he pulls in direct quotes, and then he ends on a big, powerful call to action or, you know, widening of the scope in his conclusion. I mean, it's like, it's textbook, you know, academic essay right there, just done in a comedy format. It's really, really impressive when you break it down like that.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about it like that?
Well, I guess not actually breaking it down like that, but yeah, he does hit like the classic structure of presenting your argument.
Yeah, that's why I think he absolutely deserves to win every single award that he's up for.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you.
Well, let's give a shout out to Bill Hader for winning Outstanding Lead Actor in a Comedy Series for Barry.
Yeah, I love Barry just because Bill Hader
he's so good.
Yeah, it's amazing how he switches on a dime between the goofy, loving guy that we know from Saturday Night Live and then all of a sudden the serious killer in this show. And he goes back and forth, and it's really eerie that he has that just look that switches it around, and it's fantastic. That's what an actor does. So
yeah.
I'm always impressed by Bill Hader in Barry.
And also, another quick shout-out, how about Ozark winning for Outstanding Directing in a drama series? That really, well, here's why I think it won, because Game of Thrones had three episodes nominated.
And it all split the vote.
So one, it split the vote, and two, the eighth season was pretty rough. So basically eliminating that, you have Ozark, Handmaid's Tale, Killing Eve, and Succession. I would have given it to Killing Eve or The Handmaid's Tale. But, you know, I might have to pay more attention to Ozark now. It's been out for several seasons. It's always been sort of there in the mentioning, but it's failed to really, you know, take it up to the next level. So maybe it's time to give it a shot.
I think that's, I don't know, is there any other things that we want to mention?
Some other major headlines: Emmy viewership dropped below 7 million. It's the lowest ever in history. 32% drop from 2018.
I got to admit, I didn't watch it.
I watched like the last hour of it. Again, these award shows, they're just too long.
They are.
They're too...
And why on Sunday? I'm watching football.
Exactly, right? Do it like in the middle of the day or something. I don't know. I don't know how to fix the problem.
Do it on like a Wednesday.
Do it on a Wednesday. Sure. I mean, there's nothing else going on Wednesdays, I guess.
Yeah.
Another big headline: NBC's Saturday Night Live was the only basic network show to win any major Emmy awards. That was kind of surprising. It's been trending that way, in the past few years. But I feel like it's really apparent now that it's just all HBO, Amazon, and Netflix.
Well,
like it, nothing even holds a candle to those three.
It kind of makes sense.
It does.
Because, you know, when you're paying for a subscription to one of these services, they have the capability to put more money directly into their original works and their TV shows and their movies and stuff like that. Whereas ABC, NBC, Fox, CBS, they're relying on their advertisers.
Right.
And then if they want to produce a show, they have to make sure the show doesn't trample over any toes by the FCC or by their advertisers or by their code of
network codes. Yeah, you also have to keep in mind that streaming platforms, they don't have to worry about schedules.
That
right?
too, yeah.
They can put as many shows. They don't have to worry about, oh, well, you know, if we take this out of the 8:30 time slot on Wednesdays, we're going to lose this demographic.
Yeah.
The other thing is the basic network shows, this has always been my problem with it, they're all very safe because they have to make sure that they get everybody from 18 to 65.
Yeah.
And you're not going to find many 18-year-olds that like the same shows that 65-year-olds do. It's just that's why I hate when my parents love watching their alphabet soup cop dramas. Every iteration of NCIS, it's just the same thing over and over and over again. We have different tastes. Streaming services, they can better cater to whatever audience they want to.
Yeah.
You know? So it's the future of television. The sooner everybody jumps on the bandwagon, the better. Because it's only going to become amplified in the coming years.
Yeah. It's either that or we're all going to go back to cable because there's going to be too many streaming services.
Well, it's getting there. Did you see the Apple TV Plus ads during... Oh, you didn't watch the Emmys.
Yeah.
So of course you didn't. Well, that was a silly question. Yeah. They didn't look that bad. They look pretty good. I don't know if I want to pay another streaming service.
Well, take that attitude and multiply it times five, and then you see where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
Because it's gonna just come out just too much. It's going to be oversaturation.
I'll get the free month, and then I'll report back if any of them are good.
Okay.
You don't seem enthused at all.
Uh-uh.
Well, do we have time for one more story with the Emmys then? Because we have to get to this weird, I don't even know what to make of this. So this was, I guess, on the red carpet. I don't know if this was before or after the show.
Right, because I didn't watch the Emmys, so I have no idea how this went.
Neither did I. But it involves a person we've talked about previously on the show, Terrence Howard.
Yeah, who's ridiculous.
He is ridiculous. We had previously talked about him.
I know why he got booted from the Marvel universe now.
Well, yeah, because he's going on and on about how one times one isn't one. It should be two.
Yeah.
Otherwise, two has no purpose.
Whatever the hell that means.
And that's almost a direct quote. But he's back at it again at the Emmys saying some really weird stuff. And I mean, if you thought one times one equals two was weird, you ain't heard nothing yet.
Uh-oh.
Let's go to the clip.
In the house, Terrence Howard here. You made huge headlines when you said, after you complete these 15 episodes of Empire, you got to walk away for a while or forever?
For good. I mean, everyone keeps trying to tell me, don't say it's forever. But I've spent 37 years pretending to be people so that people can pretend to watch and enjoy what I'm doing when I've made some discoveries in my own personal life with the science that, you know, Pythagoras was searching for. I was able to open up the flower of life properly and find the real wave conjugations that we've been looking for 10,000 years. Why would I continue, you know, walking on water for tips when I've got an entire generation to teach a whole new world?
That's a big remark. Yeah. What do you intend to do?
Well, let me put it this way. All energy in the universe is expressed in motion. All motion is expressed in waves. All waves are curved. So where does the straight lines come from to make the Platonic solids? There are no straight lines. So when I took the flower of life and opened it properly, I found a whole new wave conjugations that expose the in-between spaces. It's the thing that holds us all together. I'm sharing that. On Tuesday, when I receive my star, I'm going to be able to prove that gravity is only an effect and not a force. I'm putting something on YouTube where I will build the planet Saturn without gravity and build the Milky Way galaxy without gravity.
Did you also say you're getting your star on?
Yeah.
On the Walk of Fame.
Well, which is interesting. How am I getting a star when I've never, for TV, when I've never received an Emmy nomination for TV?
What?
Were you prepared at all for what he just laid on us?
No.
That was really, really weird, wasn't it? I love how the interviewers just keep going. They're like, and what about your star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? Because what are they supposed to say? So I have the quotes here. He said, quote,
Can you go over? I need to go through the process behind the fact that there's no straight lines.
Okay, so here's
my favorite part.
Here's a quote: "All energy in the universe is expressed in motion. Wait,
hold on, I gotta go one step at a time. Okay, energy is motion.
Motion. All motion is expressed in waves.
Motion equals waves.
All waves are curved.
How are motions waves? I'm missing that.
I think like he means like radio and light waves and
like UV rays and stuff. Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
Waves are curves.
Waves are curves.
So where does the straight lines
come
from?
So there's no straight lines.
Yes. There are no straight lines.
Wow.
So when I took the flower of life and opened it properly, I found a whole new world of wave conjugations.
There you go. I'm sold. My mind is blown.
Is something wrong with Terrence Howard?
No.
Are you sure?
No. I think he's the smartest man in the universe.
Are you saying that because you're afraid of Terrence Howard?
Yes. Because he is obviously doing some weird stuff that none of us are even thinking about.
I know. I gotta say, I watched the clip and I'm like, I'm a little concerned, honestly. Like, this is... like really, really weird.
What is he doing? Is he playing with nuclear reactors in his free time?
Whatever the flower of life is that he opened and discovered the real wave conjugations. What does that mean? The real wave conjugations.
There you go. You didn't even know that was a thing.
I didn't even know. And then he said he's going to prove that gravity is only an effect, not a force. Apparently he's going to put something on YouTube. I didn't even check YouTube to see... if he put up his, he made Saturn without gravity. I don't even, what is he
doing? I'm going to make Saturn without gravity.
I can't wait to see this YouTube video.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was Terrence Howard at the Emmys.
Whew.
He was a presenter, and yes, he is getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Can you believe it?
This is 2019, everybody.
This is the world we live in.
Yeah.
This is the world we live in. Welcome to 2019, the most insane timeline. The stupidest timeline.
Yes.
The Bills. It's a timeline with no straight lines.
There's no straight lines. The Bills are 3-0. And Terrence Howard is apparently going to figure out the universe.
That's definitely the world we want to live in.
All right. So there you go. What a way to conclude our Emmy discussion right there. I'm glad you found that sound clip, because I didn't watch the Emmys at all, so I would have missed out on it. But there you go. Now we know all about
waves.
Waves.
And straight, or no, no straight lines, sorry.
Yeah.
And the flower of life.
Real galaxies have curves.
There you go.
There you go.
Really?
That's what we're gonna label this as.
There you go.
All right.
It's a very galaxy positive movement.
Yeah, we don't need no stick figures.
Yeah.
No.
Put some astral gases on them rings. Yeah.
Yes. Perfect.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Real planets have curves.
Real planets have curves. There you go. According to Terrence Howard. All right, we're making bad puns on the universe. I think that's a sign we need to end the entertainment entree. However, we still got one more portion of the show. That's going to get even weirder. It's the non-fortune cookie odd news. I've got some strange stories that you need to hear when we come back from the break. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Don't be a big, stupid jellyfish. Keep on listening to the Crispy Noodle. I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. What? Reapers are back. I should go.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. That's his order.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree, and we're moving right along. If you thought Terrence Howard was crazy, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh, yeah.
Because if that didn't go off the rails, this segment will, coming up next. I've got a whole bunch of wacky news that I need to get to. So without further ado, what's the time for, Mike?
It's time for the wacky, the wild, the always entertaining, non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Pass this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories and keeps them hidden from me, which ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen, you guys don't know what's about to happen, and even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to get started. You were teasing Florida and Vegas. I'm ready for a coast-to-coast road trip. Almost coast-to-coast. I don't understand geography.
Almost.
Almost. But what do you got for us? Where are we heading to first?
All right, let me get the Vegas story out of the way first. The first story, Vegas here. And
Wait, the first Vegas story?
This one takes place in Vegas.
Okay.
And I can't believe I'm about to do this, but this story revolves around Miley Cyrus. Yeah. Oh, I thought you were about to say.
No, that's all okay. I got.
All right, that's all you got. Yeah! There you go. That's Mike's karaoke.
Don't mock my impromptu karaoke of Miley Cyrus.
Which is just, yeah!
Yeah!
Coming soon, Mike will, yeah. Mike will do karaoke of Lil Jon. Yeah! Yeah!
I can do all the yeahs you need me to do. I got the Miley Cyrus yeahs. I got the Lil Jon yeahs. I got the Kool-Aid Man. Oh, yeah. So what do you got for us, Miley Cyrus?
Okay, so the reason why...
Do you mean the actual Miley Cyrus?
Yes. Okay. There's a reason why. This story is so out there, I have to talk about it.
Okay.
Miley Cyrus was going to perform in Las Vegas at iHeartRadio. I guess they're doing a concert where she's the headliner.
Okay.
But it nearly took a dark turn due to a man that cops say is completely obsessed with her. Okay. And luckily her bodyguards prevented disaster.
Disaster?
Yeah. Law enforcement sources told TMZ that cops were called to the T-Mobile Arena on Saturday night after Miley's personal security team found out that 42-year-old David Rumsey was in the audience. The reason why this is important is because David Rumsey was on their predator watch list.
Ooh.
Because he made previous threats against her. Rumsey has made threatening posts online, including a post where he says, quote, "It is my personal life's mission to impregnate Miley Cyrus."
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Why would you post something like that?
Yeah. That.
Why
would you phrase it like that?
Right. Impregnate her.
Yeah.
What?
Like.
It's not just bang her. It's actually.
Yeah.
That's a little creepy.
Right. Like,
I mean,
I'm sure, like,
the whole thing is creepy to start with, but that's like an extra creepy.
Right. Like, I think the worst I think you could get away with would be like, oh, I would like to bang XYZ celebrity or something. But that would kind of be you think someone's attractive or something.
Don't all guys sort of say that about most celebrities?
Right.
You know?
This is taking it to a whole different level. It's my life's mission to impregnate Miley. Like, who talks like that?
Yeah, that's really... And also, you say he's like 40-some years old?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is already dangerous territory
getting
here.
Getting skeevy.
And now he actually showed up at the concert.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. But as the story indicates, luckily the bodyguards apparently were aware of this person and confronted him already.
They should hire those guys to, like, be on the National Security Agency, you know? Jesus Christ, how did they find this guy? How did they know him out of this whole crowd, you know? Like, how did they figure it out?
Well, you know, I'm sure Miley Cyrus has like a social media team, and probably when something like this turned up, they're probably like, we should probably keep an eye on this guy.
Yeah, but how did they, like, anybody could buy a ticket from anywhere, from anyone, with any alias. I guess maybe he wasn't that careful.
Right. I guess if you use a credit card and your name's David Rumsey and it pops up.
And it pops up, okay.
Like that.
Maybe. I'm just impressed that they were able to, like, lock it down, you know? Like, they were on top of it.
Miley's security team had distributed Rumsey's photo to all the staff inside the venue and instructed them to be on the lookout for Rumsey during her performance. After being detained by Miley's security team, Rumsey was arrested and booked into the Clark County Jail on a felony charge of making threats.
Okay.
He's still currently in custody and awaiting his bond hearing. But the story can get even weirder if you'd like me to, because I've pulled up the tweets.
All right.
Yeah. So the first one was actually just like his like bio thing.
Okay.
It's my life's mission to impregnate Miley Cyrus. That's his bio.
Oh, that's his bio?
That's his about.
Oh, my God. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
I thought that was an actual post. That's just who he is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here are his actual tweets. Apparently, this came after he was... apparently, he first met Miley Cyrus at some point.
Okay.
When she was first becoming popular.
Right.
So he references that and says, "Look at Miley Cyrus. Again, I ran into you before. I'm sorry if I hurt you in our last meeting. I hope you can see past what happened."
I'm really worried now.
"I blame Trump."
What?
Which doesn't make any sense. He's
for what?
I don't know.
For wanting to impregnate her?
No, I blame Trump. I'm reading what the damn tweet is.
Okay.
"I know it didn't seem like a friendly greeting. It was supposed to be greeting, and he spelled it G-R-E-E-D-I-N-G, greeting."
Oh, my God.
This guy's a winner.
Can't even spell.
Yeah.
What did he do?
I don't know. He probably said something creepy to her or something.
Oh, my God. I'm actually, like, concerned with what he did.
Yeah.
You know?
He then said, "I can try to let things go if you do." All right. So that's one post.
Okay.
Then another post to Miley Cyrus. This one's directly at Miley Cyrus.
Okay.
"I am the King of Kings, just like Jesus."
Wow.
"And I thought everyone loved Jesus."
Okay. So I missed the part where Jesus was all about impregnating pop stars.
Yeah.
Something doesn't jive there.
I love the fact he starts out, "I am the King of Kings."
I'm the King of Kings, yeah.
Yes, this is exactly what he's trying to do. This is exactly how Jesus would tweet.
Exactly. Exactly.
He would start out, "I am the King of Kings."
Hashtag King of Kings.
Yeah.
He's trying to make himself, you know, he's trying to make the case that he's a real catch.
Yeah.
You know, with all his misspellings and...
Right.
grand claims of godhood, you know?
Yeah.
The casual reference to impregnating her. Who doesn't want that, you know?
Then this gets better here. Following the Jesus theme, he then tweets, I would like to talk about eternal youth and bringing back the dead with you.
Okay.
Yeah. What a way to a girl's heart.
Yeah. I mean, nothing.
If you bang me, I will give you eternal youth and we can bring back the dead.
Is that the deal that he's proposing?
I guess.
We can raise the dead with our banging?
Yeah.
It's going to be so epic that the dead are going to rise from their graves? Right. That doesn't even make any sense.
Our banging is going to bring the apocalypse.
Oh, the apocalypse now.
I guess. What else would bring back the dead?
Necromancers? I don't know.
Oh, okay. Okay, so bang a necromancer. Forgot about that. Anyway.
This is weird.
Then another tweet. I would love to have you forgive me. If you can, I know that after we are together, we can party it up with Tupac, Biggie, Prince, and Michael Jackson.
Okay.
There you go. That's actually what happens.
What was that?
That is a super cut of Michael Jackson noises.
That's the best part of the story. So is that them doing it?
I guess it would be. Yeah. If you're gonna actually raise
That's how you bring the dead back.
If you're gonna raise Michael Jackson from the dead, yeah, you gotta do all those sound effects.
Right. That's the best part. Woo! Oh, man.
That's going into my personal soundboard.
Absolutely.
I need to have that for like a,
absolutely.
I need to have that for like a text message.
Could you imagine if that was actually somebody's text tone? Oh my god.
Excuse me, Bob.
Somebody's like, is your pocket grunting?
Is your
pocket grunting and then wooing?
I need to find a way to make that a text message sound effect.
Oh my god. Woo! Oh my god. Oh, I can't stop laughing at the idea of just like you getting a text and people are like, what? What is happening? Oh man!
And apparently, if you do that in the bedroom, you'll bring back Michael Jackson. So there you go.
So you see, good ringtone, good possible way to raise the dead.
Then one more tweet he posted. He said that on the theme of this party with all these dead celebrities, any party that you might be planning on having is going to be more of a pre-party. Because when we're one-on-one, it will be the real party.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, there's so much cringe going on with all these tweets. That's how he parties.
There you go. That's the true party.
Yeah.
But luckily, this guy, Rumsey, is in jail. So hopefully he'll get the help he needs.
What a sad, sad little man.
Yeah. That's just so weird.
It is really, really weird. Yeah. He should feel bad that he is the age that he is and is fawning in the creepiest way over a 20-something-year-old pop star.
By the way, for the record, Miley Cyrus is 26, and this dude's 42.
Yeah, so I mean, you're talking almost a 20-year difference, and he's... Just the way that he's talking about her is like a teenage boy would talk, you know? Just like really weird, awkward.
Not even a teenage boy. Who the hell says it's my personal life's mission to impregnate?
Somebody who's trying to sound like they're cool, but they don't understand. It's just so creepy. Yeah. It's like stalker type stuff.
Yeah.
It's a good thing her security team got on top of that.
Right. Actually, yeah, the real heroes, yeah, are this law or this security team.
Seriously,
they're the MVPs.
Yeah, really.
So good job,
A plus work there.
Yeah, whoever those guys are.
Good job, Miley Cyrus security team.
Yeah, get the name of them. We hire them. They're
right.
You know, 5-star rating from here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The coveted 5 crispy noodle stars.
Yeah. Okay. Now, with that in mind, I've got some crazy Florida stories here for you.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right. Let's do, this is, okay. Yeah, let's just do this one.
Okay.
Of course.
You sound so exasperated.
Yeah, I'm going to read this, and you're going to be like, of course this happened in Florida.
Okay.
While conducting a physical exam, a Florida nursing assistant suddenly opened his mouth and placed it around the penis of his patient.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
Sure.
There you go.
Bam. That's, go right. Yep. Free for all.
Wow.
go for it. What? Just out of, yeah, sure. Out of nowhere. Here you go. Bam. Complimentary blowjob.
I mean, that's like, some world-class service there.
Investigators allege that 41-year-old Roger Kala Martin was examining the victim's genitals when the sexual battery took place. The victim, cops say, was getting his annual physical when he was suddenly subjected to Martin's unprovoked sexual contact.
Do normally the nursing people do that part of the physical?
Yeah,
I
right?
Doesn't
the doctor do that?
Yeah, that should have been the first... You know, red flag. Like, hang on, you're not the doctor. You're not supposed to be touching me there.
Oh, yes, it's time.
Oh, my balls!
That's a little too tight.
Yeah. Oh, my balls!
The victim then immediately screamed, backed up, and left the exam room and called 911. So, yeah, this
wow.
is...
Wow. So, did I miss something, or was the nurse... man or a woman?
This is a man.
So it's a man. Okay. Because you said Martin, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, Roger Kala Martin.
Roger. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just all of a sudden, he's going down on you.
No professionalism.
Oh, my balls!
After being read his rights, Martin then confessed that he did place his mouth on the victim's genitalia. Martin was arrested by Clearwater Police Department on a felony sexual battery charge.
Jesus.
He was released after posting a $10,000 bond.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess nurses make money.
I guess so, yeah.
I mean, he's just committing sexual assault. I'm like, I'll just pay my way out of jail. No biggie. I'm sure there will be, you know, actual proceedings and everything.
Yeah. But... just there you go. Out of nowhere.
Sure, of course. You go in to get a physical and you get sexually assaulted.
What are you doing down there?
Yeah, right?
This is not part of the physical.
It's super weird, though, because think about it. The guy has to be... I don't understand how he could let him get that close and still think that it was a normal physical. Like, what was he... What was the context of him being that... having his face that close? You know what I mean? Woo! Yeah,
that's what usually happens,
right? That's what all the physicals sound like.
Yeah, all of them.
They got the tongue depressor out and they just I love that clip so much.
Yeah, this
that's my one, new favorite
that,
clip.
That one's going on my soundboard.
Oh,
immediately.
Absolutely. Actual audio. Yeah. But you understand what I'm saying, though? Like, how does the nurse get his head that close to the other guy's penis without the other guy thinking, hey, this isn't right? You know what I mean?
This isn't how a physical's supposed to go.
Like, I'm just, is he sitting or is he standing there and the guy's just inching closer and closer? At what point do you think, that's a little too close?
And then he just goes for
it. And he just goes for it, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, weird story. Of course, it's Florida.
Florida, of course.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's do. I got another. Yeah, all the rest of these are Florida, just about.
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
You're gonna like this story. Two Florida nitwits are jailed on felony charges after they allegedly threatened a McDonald's drive-thru worker with guns because their hamburgers were too cold, according to cops.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
Oh, yeah. How dare you?
It's always the worst possible way to handle things.
Yep. Jawan Davis and Jordan Dunn brandished two pistols in a threatening manner while at the drive-thru windows of a McDonald's in Palm Coast. The men, both of whom are 20 years old, became upset when a McDonald's worker brought out the grub that was not warm enough. How dare you?
Straight to threatening them with pistols.
This is the last straw. The men told the employee that they wanted their food, which included six burgers. Wow.
Wow.
They were hungry.
Yeah.
What kind of
burgers? Regular burgers? Big Macs? Quarter pounders? Double quarter pounders? What's going on here? Big and tasty? What is it? I gotta know.
It just says burgers.
What's your favorite type of McDonald's hamburger?
Quarter pounder.
Yeah, it's gotta be the quarter pounder.
Yeah.
Do you get bacon on yours? I like bacon on mine.
The Big Mac's too much bread.
It is a lot of bread, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like the Big Mac sauce.
Yes.
So I'll say a quarter pounder with the Big Mac sauce.
You can do that?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never thought of that.
Duh. Yeah.
Oh, my God. you opened my eyes. This is like a revelation.
All right. Stop the podcast.
I got to go get a quarter pounder with Big Mac sauce.
Yeah, go to McDonald's.
You know, they should package Big Mac sauce.
I'm sure there's a way.
You know how you get like ketchup packets? They should have like Big Mac sauce
yeah,
packets.
They don't do that. They should. Chick-fil-A does
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. Chick-fil-A sauce.
Yeah. Oh, I love the
They're
Chick-fil-A
really missing
sauce.
Out. Could you imagine?
Oh, I love Chick-fil-A sauce.
Are you having a moment there with your Chick-fil-A sauce?
I haven't had it in like... I have not had Chick-fil-A since we did the chicken taste test.
Yeah, neither have I.
I've been... Not that I'm trying to go on any sort of diet or anything, but I've been trying to watch what I eat a little bit.
Right.
So...
Chick-fil-A is definitely not the thing to have if you're trying to watch.
But it's so good.
It is. It is very good.
I miss it.
Aw, poor Rich.
No. All I wanted was just a little bit of chicken.
Why did you have the music ready to go? Were you planning on mourning the loss of Chick-fil-A?
Yes.
Yes. It's okay, buddy. You can have maybe if you do real well watching yourself, you can treat yourself to a little bit of Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
That was like
the quickest soap opera ever. There you go.
It was so perfectly timed and the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Which is really saying a lot.
Yeah, considering what we've done here on the podcast.
That's not at all what this story started out as.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What? What clip? Why did you have what is happening?
Hey, man, I got stuff loaded up.
You got stuff loaded up.
Yeah. All right.
That was just very serendipitous.
Right. Yeah. I wasn't planning on using it. I just had it ready there.
Oh my God. So their plight maybe not as sad as Rich's plight with the Chick-fil-A, or maybe it was. I don't know. Do you think that's a pistol brandishing offense, cold hamburgers?
No, I don't think so.
I can't imagine anything that's a pistol brandishing offense.
Yeah. So the two men then demanded that their food be remade. According to police, one of the men explained, quote, "Look, bitch, I don't play around with my food."
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They take the McDonald's seriously.
I said good day.
Yes. Don't you dare mess with my food.
You know, they could have done that without the guns, though.
Yeah. So, they pulled out two pistols in a threatening manner at the employee Tyrone Walker. He then agreed to go back inside to recook the food, and that's when he called 911.
Smart.
And the pair actually stayed in the drive-thru.
Of course.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
Only in Florida, only in Florida do they think, oh, we just threaten this dude with you know, gun violence, and it's totally fine to just wait here for the hamburgers.
Yeah. Not, we didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
God. So, yeah, while they sat in their Ford Fusion at the drive-thru, Walker called 911. Cops then arrived around 4 in the morning. That's when Davis and Dunn were arrested. While they acknowledged that they were upset about the cold food, Dunn and Davis claimed that they were only joking.
Oh, yeah. Of course. And, well, you're free to go, guys.
What a funny joke.
That was a knee slapper, it was, threatening somebody's life over hamburgers.
Yeah.
They should get a Netflix comedy special.
Yeah. Dunn then told cops, please, sir, don't arrest me. I ain't no bad person.
Aww.
I'm not a bad person.
Yeah, all he did was threaten to kill somebody over a cold hamburger.
It
totally,
was a joke.
Totally innocent.
Florida sense of humor.
Right.
Joking, of course.
Right. I mean, what's a Florida joke without gun violence?
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on. What's wrong? Don't take me to jail.
I won't be able to handle it.
Where's my burgers?
It's so cold.
What are we going to do?
Please, I just wanted a hamburger. And I wanted it to be warm.
Davis and Dunn were then arrested for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. They also found in the car a stolen handgun.
Oh, three handguns.
Yeah, so that's another felony charge. You're not supposed to have a stolen handgun.
No, really.
So Davis, I guess somehow they ruled that it belonged to Davis because Davis's bail is $13,000 and Dunn's bail is at $10,500.
So
there you go.
$2,500
is the difference.
Stolen gun, $2,500.
For your bail.
We did the math.
There you go. You're on the Chris Meadle podcast.
Hashtag they did the math.
Yep.
It's pretty simple.
All right. I got another Florida story here.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
This one is funny to imagine. A theft suspect. That's what it says. A theft suspect. I was trying to read that as suspect was the verb.
A theft. Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, weird. Anyway, a theft suspect who made her getaway on a bicycle was arrested last night when a sheriff's deputy spotted her riding topless down the middle of a Florida highway, according to police.
I want to ride my bicycle.
Yeah,
nice.
So, yeah.
I want to ride my bicycle completely topless.
According to cops, this woman last night stole $19.99 flip-flops and a handful of shirts from a clothing store on Okaloosa Island.
So, wait, she stole the shirts?
Yeah.
But she was still topless?
Yes.
Okay.
Logic!
Was she barefoot as well?
No, she's wearing the flip-flops.
No. No. Okay, so she took the time to put... Did she have a shirt on when she stole the shirts?
I think
What happened to the shirt in the intervening moments?
So a worker at Surfside Outfitters told investigators that the suspect placed the items into her bag and then immediately walked out of the business while wearing the stolen flip-flops.
Okay.
The employee cops reported said that shoplifter was last seen riding away through the parking lot on her bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
So after the episode, several callers to 911 reported that there was a topless woman riding her bicycle erratically down the middle of Highway 98, which is a major two-lane road
Oh my
that
God.
Runs through the island. So, yeah, this isn't like a little like residential street. This is a major
and
highway.
She's right in the middle.
Yeah. Oh, topless, riding her bicycle.
Jesus.
The Florida dream here.
Right.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
I'm really interested, though, in the clothing. Because she's wearing the flip-flops. Did she show up barefoot? What do you think?
Oh, to the store?
Yeah, because if not, what did she do with the other shoes?
Just throw them somewhere.
Just I'm chuckle. Done with these. Yeah, just throws them out.
Yep.
So, and again, the shirt. Did she show up shirtless and then steal the shirts?
No. She had to have had her shirt on in the store.
Because she wouldn't have been able to get in.
Right. No shirt, no shoes, no service.
There you go. The sign works.
Right.
So that means after she stole the shirts, she said, well, I don't need this one anymore. Right? Like, I'm trying to understand that in between that transitionary period where she somehow became topless riding her bike.
Well,
they saw her get on the bike, which means at some point she either stopped, took off the shirt, and continued riding, or somehow managed to take off the shirt while riding.
Well, it gets hot.
Which is really impressive.
It gets hot while you're riding the bicycle onto a major highway.
Right. The asphalt reflects all that heat. Yeah. Florida, so it's hot down there.
Right. So you got to throw that
take
shirt
the shirt off. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, go topless. So then when a sheriff's deputy tried to confront her on the bicycle, the woman yelled, "Make me, mother effer."
Classy as always, Florida.
Yeah. So in short order, the deputy then pulled ahead of the bicyclist and eventually took her into custody. The suspect was identified as 32-year-old Courtney Backus.
Okay.
Backus was charged with retail theft and resisting arrest without violence. She was released after posting a $1,000 bond.
That's not too bad.
No, not too bad. For a little bit of fun.
It's all right. Yeah.
A little bit of fun.
It's just a joyride on her bicycle.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
I think we're running out of time, so I'm going to get to our last story here. Now, this is where I told you, this is why I didn't want to say Vegas is not over yet.
Okay.
Because this story happens in Florida.
Okay.
But it takes place outside of a place called Vegas Cabaret.
Okay.
So
it's a place called Vegas in Florida. Cabaret in Florida.
Right.
Okay.
So we
so
began
a little bit of both.
We began with Las Vegas, and now we're ending with sort of Las Vegas, but it's still Florida.
It's a marriage of two odd news worlds.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And boy, this is just, you can't believe how dumb people are.
Okay.
While her mother worked the strip pole inside, a 3-year-old Florida girl was roaming around the parking lot of the Florida strip club early yesterday morning, according to police.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
Responding to a 911 call about an unsupervised child, police found the little girl alone outside the all-nude Las Vegas Cabaret in Lauderhill, which is a city in Broward County. Broward. What up, bro?
Yeah.
Broward County. This was all around 2 in the morning.
Oh, that poor kid.
Yeah.
Jeez.
The child had apparently been staying inside a Toyota Corolla.
What do you mean had been?
Yeah, so she was supposed to stay in there, apparently.
Oh, my God. So the mother's like, well, I can't leave her home alone.
Right.
I'll just lock her in the car.
Right, in the parking lot.
In the parking
while
lot.
I'm at work.
Right.
Perfect.
There's a whole bunch of other women there. You could leave them with the women on their break.
And that's the end of that
chapter.
There
you go. Take Florida parenting at its best.
In the rear of the car, cops reported that there were toys, a car seat, and snacks for the child.
Oh, well, that's fine.
Aww.
That's fine. That's all a kid needs, a car seat, toys. What the hell's a car seat going to do in the parked car?
So you can properly enjoy your snacks.
Right. I mean, I admit, I do like a good car seat when I'm eating my snacks.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm properly seated. What the hell does this his mom think the kid's going to do?
Oh, my God. So she thought of everything except the abandoning the child part.
Yeah, whoops.
You know?
Yeah, that's the weird part. She obviously had
She accounted for everything. Okay, she has her favorite toys, her favorite snacks, a nice comfy blankie with her car seat. I'm good to leave her here for 5 hours while I go strip in the strip club.
Like, she actually had, like, some weird thought.
She thought it out. She really took the time here.
Yeah.
But she missed the most obvious one. Don't leave the kid locked in a car.
In a parking lot.
But she even messed that up. Because you said the kid got out.
Yeah, she left it unlocked.
Jeez, this is either the smartest kid and she was trying to escape. Or, I don't know.
Yeah. According to police, the daughter had been left unattended for about 3 hours.
Oh, man.
That's when cops bursted into the strip club and identified 23-year-old Manuka Daniels.
Manuka?
I don't know. This is a hell of a name. That's the first name, too. Your parents suck.
Let me see. Where is it?
It's at the bottom.
Oh, there it is. Manuchika Daniels.
Manuchika.
I'm going to look her up.
There you go. Manuchika Daniels. What a name.
Manuchika.
That's when they
found
out. Is
that her stage name? Or
no, I hope not. That's a horrible
stage name. That's a really bad stage name.
Yeah. Oh, here comes Manuchika.
Here comes Manuka. It's like, sir, did you just have a stroke?
That's like one of those names you have to do like, you have to cover your mouth. Where's
get your dollar bills ready, guys, because here comes
here's Manuka.
Oh my God. Well, I looked her up and I mean, she's not that good looking.
It's a Florida strip club.
It's a Florida strip club. Yeah.
Yeah. Daniels was arrested on a felony child neglect charge and booked into the county jail where she's locked up in lieu of a $5,000 bond. Daniels' daughter, police reported, though, was completely unharmed and actually is in good spirits and is A-OK. She was totally
toys and the snacks.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, mother knows best.
Yeah.
Maybe the kid likes being locked in the car, okay?
Maybe the kid likes the parking lot.
Who are we to judge, yeah, right? This is the 21st century, Rich. You know? Maybe we need to be a little bit more progressive and think like, hey, mother knows best. If you know, maybe the kid likes being locked in the car. Maybe that's what's best for the kid. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows?
Maybe the kid... Just training her to get used to the streets, you know.
Oh.
Just, you know, you're walking. So,
damn.
You see the concrete, you know.
Oh, right, you know, right,
you
know, yeah.
You know, you're familiar.
Right. Because she'll be living there in about 5 to 6 years, right?
Well, the mom's not that far off. The mom's right there.
What's the lifespan of a Florida stripper, do you think?
I don't know. 2 months.
2 months. Oh, man,
know.
That was vicious.
Yeah, I don't know. This is a crazy story.
You know what I don't get is like, okay, it's a bad situation. Maybe she didn't have anybody to watch the kid. Why don't you like bring the kid into the club and be like, hey,
how about like
boss? Can somebody like the girls take breaks? Maybe they wouldn't mind.
Yeah, go back to like the dressing room area or something.
Right, exactly. Unless there's something really illicit going on in the strip club.
Yeah,
which
could happen.
Florida strip club.
Yeah.
When the cops busted in, every girl was probably like, oh, no, they're here for me.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
No, it's okay. We're only here to look for a mother. That's like the disclaimer. Like,
yeah.
Everyone, you can go back your business.
Continue your blowjobs and drugs. We're only here for the mother.
Which one of you is a mother? Oh, my God.
We're looking for the woman who abandoned their child in the car and like four people raised their hands.
Someone should start a little daycare in the parking lot.
That's not a bad business idea. As Florida strip club, that's not a bad business idea.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Are we being unnecessarily critical here? Because I don't feel like we are.
I don't know, man. That's
like, it's pretty bad.
My thing with this story is she obviously actually had some thought into it.
Right. Right. Like, she knew... Like, she knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it was sudden or was just, you know, spur of the moment. Like, this is clearly something that she's probably done before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Oh,
and
yeah.
The kid is
she
clearly
likes her snacks.
Right. And the kid is used to it because the kid knows how to escape from her car prison.
Yeah. And was not, apparently she's A-okay, like not crying or anything.
Yeah. That kid's a trooper right
yeah,
there.
Yeah. That's actually one of the toughest 3-year-olds I've ever read about.
I know some 3-year-olds, man. She's tough right there, this little one.
Yeah.
You go, little one.
Yeah, hopefully your mom didn't name you Manukada, whatever, because that's a horrible name.
Yeah, I guess they wouldn't have the kid's name in there, would they?
Yeah, no.
Manuchika. That's a strange name.
Yeah. All right, and there we go. We began in Vegas, and we ended at the Las Vegas Cabaret.
Round trip,
Florida.
Man, round trip. Almost, kind of. Not yeah. really.
There you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd news. But before we officially wrap this episode up, let's go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crisp Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
Well, I learned that, first off, we all know that leaving kids in the car is unattended is bad.
Right.
But
If you're going to do it,
make sure they have toys and snacks.
That's the least you can do.
Exactly, right? If you're going to imprison them in a car by themselves in the middle of the night, at least give them something to eat, you know?
Eat, toys.
Exactly. That makes it less bad.
Blanket.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's almost fun. It's like camping.
Yeah.
Preparing them for all the other camping they'll be doing. Urban camping. On the streets of Florida.
Yeah.
Every day.
Especially with Manuka Daniels.
Yeah. Which we learned is the worst stripper name ever because nobody can pronounce it.
Yeah.
You have to have something pronounceable, like Crystal. You know?
Yeah, not Manumina.
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 What's that song? Not that one. I was thinking about the Numa Numa.
Oh, Numa Numa.
Maya. Maya.
Different one.
No, not that one.
Oh,
no. Shucks. Well, you know what? I also learned that Florida parenting, can't leave the kid at home alone, lock him in the car.
Yeah.
You know, that old adage right there. I also learned that Rich gets very emotional about his Chick-fil-A.
I like Chick-fil-A.
Brought to tears over the thought of not having Chick-fil-A. That was a really powerful moment
Thank you.
Yeah.
I brought a little personal bit.
Yeah, exactly.
To the podcast.
We also learned that, hey, real galaxies have curves.
Yeah.
Can't have those skinny galaxies, you know?
No, they suck.
Yeah.
No.
Get some cosmic dust on those bones, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me those curves.
Yeah. You know who doesn't like curves, though? Terrence Howard. That dude is scary.
Well, no, he wants curves.
No, I thought he... Oh, that's right. He wants curves because there's no straight lines.
He claims there's no straight lines.
And he found that out by opening the true flower of life.
Yeah.
Where he found all the wave conjugations.
I have a headache just trying to explain this.
Yeah. Yeah. If I ever meet him, I might just run.
Yeah.
Because he's really scary.
It's kind of a good idea.
Yeah. That's what I learned.
Okay, there you go.
Terrence Howard is scary.
Yes. And there you go. That's what we've learned this episode of the Crisp Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Oh, man. There you go, folks. Another crazy episode of the Crisp Noodle Podcast in the books.
Good stuff.
Yeah, this is we ran the gambit there between disappointing sports teams in Philly, then to the Emmys, then explaining the universe with Terrence Howard, then
and then on news,
then stalkers of Miley Cyrus and Michael Jackson. And
that was amazing.
And my Chick-fil-A addiction.
I mean, we really hit all the main topics, you know?
And then Manumina Daniels. So
there we go. Good old
Manumina. Yeah. What a show outline this is going to look like when we make the blog post. But hey, this is the crazy nature that is the Chris Middle Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. If you like what you heard, make sure you go to thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. Follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle, and on Instagram, at The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on the podcast service of your choice.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, the best bits of the show, shrunk down into a quick promo clip that you can easily listen to with friends and family. There's a new one up there, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, I'm not Dr. Seuss.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yes. If but you missed that,
for some fun clips. Sorry.
Yeah. If you missed that clip, go to our SoundCloud page and you can listen to the quick promo clip so you can get caught up on that inside joke.
Yeah. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter to share, you know, sports, entertainment, or odd news stories, you can find us there. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening. Send us any sort of news articles that you want us to talk about. And we may give you a shout out on the podcast. But for right now, it's time to wrap this episode up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's going to do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, it is I, your good friend and former President Barack Obama. It's been a while. I'm joined by the leader of the ghost clergy, Cardinal Popia.
How you doing, United States of America?
No, well, I'm well, but now you may be asking yourself,
why are we here?
Well, it's 2019 and nothing makes sense anymore. But anyway, in my retirement and during his infernal time away from the clergy, we've both been listening to a few podcasts.
Ones that will make the asses wobble!
Yes, those are good ones, but we also need ones that bring us hope and change. One in particular with sports, entertainment, and odd news.
You give them a listen and a clappity-clap, yes?
Yes, a round of applause for our favorite podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2019!
Oh.